Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The recently concluded Melaka state elections saw Barisan Nasional win two-thirds majority of 21 out of the 28 seats in the state assembly. Pakatan Harapan, meanwhile, retained only 5 out of the 15 seats it won in 2018. Now, this has had many Pakatan supporters and sympathizers demanding not just a rethink of political strategy, but also calling for a renewal of the leadership. Here to take a good hard look at the coalition, the strategies, and more importantly, its path going forward, we have Liu Chin-tong, chief for DAP Johor. He's also former Deputy Minister of Defence and Senator with Dewan Negara. And he's also seen to be a strategist for the coalition. It's a pleasure to have you here, Chin-tong. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you, Melissa.
Okay. So, Chin-tong, before the polls, you had you wrote, if I may quote something that you wrote, quote, Melaka people can compare the strengths and weaknesses of their previous state governments, end quote. And I think the question here to you is whether you think the results suggest that voters were not impressed by the 22 months that Pakatan Harapan led their state.
I think if you follow what Mahasan said yesterday on Awani, Mahasan said that had the turnout be 75%, UMNO will be in trouble. Whereas had turnout were below 65%, UMNO would be winning 18 seats as he predicted. So the point is that turnout plays a very important role in this election. Now, perhaps we can attribute turnout to also disappointment in the sense that those who are disappointed may not want to turn out to vote. And in the electoral system in Malaysia, UMNO has a firm hold over about 30% of voters who are residing in situ, who are residing there. Whereas many of the younger voters reside in Kuala Lumpur, work in Singapore, stay in Johor Bahru, and they have a choice of whether to go back to vote or not to go back to vote. Now, if they felt compelled to go back to vote, even election was on a Wednesday, they will return to vote. But maybe perhaps from those who think that Pakatan has done everything wrong, maybe because they felt that there's no compelling reason for them to return to vote, whereas those who stay there are voting for UMNO.
But Chin-tong, is the problem in fact deeper, or should we take the point at which things went wrong really at an earlier point when Pakatan came out to support the 4 dissenters then part of the ruling Perikatan National Government? In choosing to support them and perhaps not anticipating that they would not be able to regain the state without an election, was that the point at which Pakatan was having trouble, at least in terms of its strategy?
I think definitely that was the cause of the election. That was the cause of a lot of unhappiness, and it will have an impact on the minds of the voters. The voters may not think that whether that particular issue on supporting the 4-person was the cause of it, or the whole idea that Pakatan was not united and therefore not worthy of government. It could be a mixture of both. And I think it is very important for Pakatan and the leadership as well as the supporters to realize that Pakatan could only win if it has, if it presents itself as a better alternative. Pakatan would not be able to win if we think that if we think that we can go in and just win seats based on what happened in the last election, then we may not be able to win, because we won very much because there were game changers created by Pakatan in 2017, in 2018, and we presented ourselves as a better government, or at least as a cleaner government in the last election. Now, so when we went into election, just because the 4 of them caused a state election, and therefore we are asking the voters to choose us over the other side, we were not inspiring.
Who should take responsibility for the inclusion of the political frogs into the Pakatan?
I think there were multiple levels of there were a package of issues, and there were also people at different levels that were contributing to the final decision. So I do not want to pinpoint any single person, but I think there were a series of issues where Pakatan took a long time to make decision. First, of course, whether to support the 4% to cause a downfall of the government, of the earlier government. That was an issue that it took perhaps a week or two. DAP was opposed to causing the downfall of the previous government, which eventually led to a snap election. And it took a while. Eventually, based on consensus principle, DAP accepted the views of other parties and eventually whatever happened after that. Secondly, there was an issue of logo. Since April, DAP and Amana has already agreed to use the Pakatan logo in the event of any election. But PKR disagreed. So that was another issue where the parties have differences of views. Then followed by the questions of Adli as the chief ministerial candidate. So DAP and Amana agreed that we needed a chief ministerial candidate. The chief ministerial candidate cannot be Idris Harun. It has to be Adli. We have to sell the story of Adli. And the earlier we announced Adli as the chief ministerial candidate, the better for the campaign. That was an issue that PKR took a long while to consider, and eventually they agreed to it. Then the questions of the four candidates who cross over, two of them, it was agreed by all three parties, two of them should not be fielded, but the other two, it took a long while. Eventually, DAP agreed out of necessity to move on, but actually agreed with protest. But because the other two parties had already decided, so DAP agreed with protest and move on. Then there was the questions of seat allocation. DAP eventually agreed to take without increasing any seats, without taking more seats from the seats left by Bersatu in the last election. In exchange, the other party agreed that in the next election, DAP would contest the seat of Alor Gajah. Of course, some of our supporters were not happy, but the DAP came with the view that we must make decision as soon as possible. We shouldn't drag on this decision, and therefore DAP make the sacrifices of agreeing not to increase the number of seats. So there were a package of issues that we had to deal with, and I wish we could deal with some of this issue much earlier. If we could deal with all these issues much earlier, with unity of purposes, we perhaps will actually fare better in the election. So and I don't
Chintong, attribute sorry, Chintong, yeah. I can just catch you there. Just to say that I think what you present are concerns that the party faithful, that the party elite are most concerned about these negotiations. Mm. But are voters concerned about that? And you earlier made mention of the fact that Pakatan Net Media presented itself at least as the cleaner government. Not necessarily. The question is also for somebody in Malacca, is not just cleaner government, but also better governance.
Yeah.
And better governance is a problem for Pakatan, because I don't know, I mean, just speaking to people there, that Pakatan necessarily did that well in terms of governance. There was a lot of, there were a lot of things, especially like a land reclamation that didn't seem to be particularly imaginative coming from the Pakatan side and so on and so forth. So what political party strategists like yourself might be concerned about might not be the concerns of voters, don't you think?
Well, what I was trying to say is that the package of issues that took too long to resolve took away a lot of time for us to show that we are a singular entity. Had we entered the election as a singular entity without much differences, then we would have presented ourselves as a better alternative, in the sense that our opponent were also split. Our opponent were also split. Our opponent also were also having a lot of issues within their coalition or within their party. And had we been able to solve it much earlier, then we would have a lot more time to talk about other issues. Now, in terms of better government, I would say that the Melaka Pakatan government was a good government, was a clean government, was a government that tried very hard, whether it was very successful in its publicity. I think maybe there were challenges during our time both as national government and also as state government in terms of publicity. But as, for instance, on the issues of land reclamation that you pointed out, actually it was a Pakatan's strength rather than a Pakatan's weakness. The main culprit as far as land reclamation is concerned is mainly Rauf and Sulaiman, or the Sulaiman government, particularly influenced by Rauf, and particularly in the in the latest reclamation project, which was the talking point of most voters on the coastal area. So I would think that had we had more time, you will be able to present ourselves better. And I don't think we have exploited Art Lee's popularity fully. When I went on the ground, when I met people, it was very clear that people like Art Lee, but I don't think we have maximized Art Lee's appeal to the general public. And I also don't think that we have presented ourselves as a government in waiting sufficient enough. I wish we could present ourselves as a government in waiting a lot more and to show the voters that we could govern much better.
Chin Tong, can I come back to the confluence of negotiation stumbling blocks that led to you saying that, you know, you wish you had more time to present another option to Melaka voters? Just hearing you talk about the events that led to the fact that negotiations took time, decisions took time, it seems to me that PKR was a stumbling block here. Is it because Anwar is not a decisive leader in making these decisions that led to time being lost in a critical campaign period?
I would think that because we are a coalition, by nature, coalition of equal is not easy to manage. Muhyiddin found out that he couldn't manage a coalition of equal. To a large extent, the Pakatan government, federal government, fell because we could not hold together as a coalition of equal. So any coalition of equal without a dominant party is not easy to manage. And the voters, at the same time, do not want dominant parties like what UMNO used to be. So learning how to run a coalition of equals is never easy, but it's a necessary lesson for everyone. Now, I do hope that moving forward, both Dato Sri Anwar as well as everyone in the coalition, I don't single out exact, do not want to pinpoint a single person, but I think the entire leadership has to understand that we are stronger when we are together, and we are stronger if we are also inclusive. We are inclusive, we are stronger if we are together. And the voters sometimes, as Sharad pointed out, actually the voters are not interested to know how the food is cooked. As long as the food is clean, as long as the food doesn't cause me stomach ache, they are not necessarily interested in what happened in the kitchen. And of course, kitchen is never easy. Anyone who go into the kitchen will have to bear with the heat and will have to bear with the troubles in the kitchen. But the problem is, as politicians, are we able to present something that is presentable? And I think that is a challenge for all of us as politicians.
Chin Tong, you just paraphrased Bismarck there about the making of sausages. I understand that, but okay, I understand we are running out of time. We need to go for a break soon to talk more about Bismarck.
Yes, let's take a quick break now and then mull over how a sausage is being made. But after this, we'll continue this conversation with Lee Chin Tong. Stay tuned to Consider This. We'll be right back. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me is Sherrod Kutton. Let's continue our conversation with Lee Chin Tong, former Deputy Minister of Defence, Senator with Dewan Negara. He's currently Chief for DAP Johor and a strategist for the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. Let's talk about Pakatan Harapan going forward, Chin Tong. You talked a little bit earlier about, you know, wanting to present to voters, a, you know, Pakatan Harapan as a government in waiting. What is that narrative that, you know, a lot of commentary has been saying that there needs to be a reset, there needs to be a rethink about Pakatan strategy. What are you, as a strategist, what are you thinking about?
Now, first of all, I think we need to be more inclusive. We need to at least include Buddha and perhaps include other parties as well. Whether they are part of a Pakatan coalition or whether they are in the form of Pakatan Plus, I think Pakatan Harapan should be a lot more inclusive and not restricting to former members that we have at the moment. We need to be more inclusive because we need to appeal to different sections of the society. And of course, when it comes to being inclusive, it means that we need to negotiate. We need to negotiate as early as possible. We need to make deals. Deals as in, for example, constituency deals. For example, how to approach different issues. The earlier we address difficult issues, the better. Now, I want to give you an example. What happened in 2017? Actually, in 2017, had Najib call election in March, we would have lost. Because it took us a long time to realign with the forces aligning with Mahathir. But by July, Pakatan was able to realign. Pakatan was able to realign with the forces aligned with Dr. Mahathir. And it took another half a year to come together to what they call, to announce Mahathir as Prime Minister, Aziza as Deputy Prime Minister, Anwar as a Prime Minister. Now, once we could do that, then the public sees that we at least have some idea how to govern and how to present our own leadership. But moving into the next election, I think the voters are asking for more. We not only that we have to present a leadership, it's not no longer one individual. I think we have to present a team. We cannot just present one single leader, but I think we have to present a whole generation of leaders.
Let's talk about the voters then. You know, because like the word the rakyat, this is a much abused term. And, you know, I think you and I, you know, generally know that there are different segments of voters. And I think in the Malacca elections, we saw how, you know, the campaign by Perikatan Abbas Sayang Melaka, derided by some as, you know, paternalistic and condescending, was actually lapped up by a segment of society that wants paternalism. They want a kind of benign paternalism that gives them handouts. So what do you do? How do you, in a single strategic sense, how do you bring all these different segments of voters and give them something that they each will be happy with?
I think there are two parts to look at it. One is, of course, to look at different segment of voters. The other part is to look at seats that can carry us across the line. So there are certain seats where both sides think that it's more or less they can win those seats. For example, UMNO is very likely to win the 47 seats that it has won in 2018, because at the lowest point of Barisan Nasional, UMNO still won 47 seats in Peninsula, and UMNO won 54 seats nationally, which included Sabah. Whereas Pakatan won 54 parliamentary seats in 2008, 2013, and 2018, and Pakatan won an additional 10 seats in 2013, 2018. So that means there are about 65 seats on the column of Pakatan, which Pakatan has won in the last two or three elections, and very likely those will stay with Pakatan. Now, the real battleground out of the 165 seats in Peninsula is about 50 seats. So how do all parties, Pakatan, Pakatan and Barisan Nasional, convince the voters in the remaining 50 seats, the final 50 seats, out of the 165 seats to support them so that they could form a federal government, or so that at least they can, one of these three coalition could win 100 seats in Peninsula. If any coalition can win 100 seats in the Peninsula, it is very likely that particular coalition will form federal government. Now, So that is the seat aspect of it. How do you appeal to voters in that final 50 seats, which are the battleground for all three coalitions? But the other part of it is very much that we know UMNO has some fixed votes, but at the same time, there are many Malaysians who are swing voters. We are going to welcome another 5.8 million voters by 1st of January 2022. These 5.8 million voters will come into the electoral roll because of the constitutional amendment to bring down voting age from 21 to 18, as well as to implement automatic registration for all voters who had previously not registered as voters. So they will all come into the electoral roll. Any election after 1st of January 2022 will include these 5.8 million voters. The last election had only 14.9 million voters on the electoral roll, and in the last election 83% of voters voted in the 2018 election. Now we are talking about slightly more than 21 million voters, and if election is dragged until 2023, we are likely to see around 22 million voters on the electoral roll. If election is held in 2023, then someone who was born in 2005 will be voting. Think about this. Someone who was born in 2005 will that be voting. So I think we are dealing with a huge number of voters who right. are who on have never
note, yeah. On that note, say you know you're dealing with someone who was born in the 2000s and is voting, right? If you use Melaka as a barometer, Chintong. Mm. Many of the young people that had supported Harapan in G14, you know, believing in the promises of change, had actually switched their allegiance to PN, to Perikatan. So looking at the kind of voter turnout and the voting pattern, so how is Pakatan thinking about that? Because engaging young people is more than just fielding a few young candidates. It's really about substantial engagement and true engagement. How is Pakatan thinking about that strategy?
Yeah, so I think in this particular election in Melaka, it was very clear that Pakatan's popular vote reduced from 51% to 35%, whereas Perikatan, in the 2018 election, it was PAS received about 10% of the vote share, and this round Perikatan, which included PAS, received 24% of the vote share. So by simple and, by a very simplistic way of looking at it, we can say that there was a shift between Pakatan and Perikatan. Of course, if you look at the actual numbers, it's more complicated than this. But the point is that there are many younger Malays who are against UMNO and who had voted for Pakatan in the last election because Pakatan was seen as the only alternative in the South. Whereas in Kelantan, Terengganu, Northern Kedah, Northern Perak, and Eastern Pahang, those who were against Najib voted for PAS in those areas. But in the south, in West Coast Peninsula, in the south, it was very clear that Pakatan was the only genuine alternative in the last election. Therefore, we received their votes. But this election, they shifted their allegiance to Perikatan. The point is, number one, they are swing voters. Many voters are swing voters, and less and less voters are actually fixed voters, which will actually mean no politician should take voters for granted. No one should take voters for granted, maybe with the exception of UMNO, because UMNO has a fixed pool of people. But with more voters coming into the electoral roll, that the weightage of the fixed pool of voters, which UMNO control, will be diluted. The weightage will be diluted.
Okay.
Very quickly,
we're running out of time. I want to ask you, can we take for granted coalitions and the shape of coalitions? Is it possible that Pakatan will not be around in 2023?
I hope Pakatan will still be around. I hope Pakatan will be an expanded coalition, will be a Big Ten coalition that includes many, many more elements, which can together form a genuine alternative, offering genuine alternative to both Perikatan and Barisan Nasional. I still hope that will happen, although there are, of course, many elements who do not want to see Pakatan surviving.
Chintong, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you sharing your insights with us. That was our conversation with DAP's Liu Chintong, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off the evening.
See you again. Good night. We'll be right back.